This morning's Bible reading is Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And if you want to follow along in one of the church Bibles, they're at the edge, and it's on page 1094. Acts 2, verse 42 to the end. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, thank you for this time to think about your message to us. Lord, we pray that if we're carrying guilt about reading the Bible, maybe not enough or not in the right way, or we struggle with it, Lord, would this be a morning where that is lifted from us? And that you remind us it's your gift to us, that you inspire us and encourage us, and you move us forwards, Father. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. So We are week two of a series called Holy Habits. And you might have come across this book, which is kind of where it's coming from. And the idea really is that week on week, over a few weeks, we're going to be thinking about the key sort of cornerstones we can put in place, those key habits that are going to help us in our faith to develop and to get to know God better. But I thought I'd start you off with some presents. So we're going to see if we can work out what the difference is between the presents. As you can tell, I've wrapped them. I'm not normally allowed to wrap anything in my house. This is the state we're at. So, my first present is John Ortberg's book, Soul Keeping. Anyone read it? One of you. Great. It's absolutely amazing. And it's all about how do you look after your soul? Present number one. Present number two is George Orwell, 1984. Came off my bookshelf this morning. Anyone read that? Wow. Present number three, you might be able to guess where this is heading. Present number three is my Bible from home, or one of them. So, either in your own head or talking to the person next to you, could you ask them, what are the similarities and what are the differences between these three books? Have a quick chat, I'll give you a minute or so. Right, is anyone up for sharing a thought? What are some of the similarities? What are some of the differences? Any thoughts? Yes, Charlie. Oh, he's good, isn't he? We might know that the Bible means library and it's lots of books. The Bible was originally written as lots of books and then brought together as one book. Excellent. Anyone else, similarity or difference? Your family's on fire this morning. Go on, Marion. You can learn from all of them. Yes, there's things that we can learn from all of them, definitely. Anything else, John? Similarities or differences, things that you know that are the same or that are different. Okay. I'm going to be this morning thinking a bit about why is the Bible different to the other two? What is different about it? And certainly there's lots and lots of people in our world who would say, actually, it's not really different. It's the same as the other two. It's also people's thoughts. And so I'm going to explore that a little bit with us today. What I'm not going to do is go over all of the sources of where does the Bible come from, why we can trust it and all of that. And if you want to find out a bit more of that, can I recommend if you go on Google and you or other search engines and you type in episode 6 or week 6 of Alpha, there's about a 20-minute talk and it does an amazing job of going over the evidence for the Bible And if you then want to come back to me and pick my brains and say, what do we think about that? Let's have a conversation. I'd be really up for that. But I'm not going to do that this morning. But if for you, the issue of can I trust the Bible is a big one, can I recommend 20 minutes of your time? And it's absolutely brilliant. But today I'm going to be thinking a little bit about how do we use the Bible and why is it important for us? So we're going to go through some of the ways, some of the things it says to us, some of what it claims for itself. So first of all, it claims to be a record of the promises of God. At the start of the book of Romans, it says about all the promises and the predictions that God makes, particularly about Jesus, saying that from the very start of the Bible, God knew the world was going to go wrong, and he predicted and said, one day I'm going to come as the Messiah, the rescuer, the Savior, and I'm going to die to put it all right again. And that's all the way through the Bible. We also see interactions of God and people. And I always find this really reassuring. This is the first life I've ever lived. I don't believe in reincarnation. And yet, God has guided thousands of people through their lives. And I find that really reassuring. This is my first run, but actually he's had a good few goes at this before. And to me, that's hugely encouraging to see how he interacts with other people over history. I find it encouraging too that I've got four different gospels which each tell me the account of Jesus. And I love that in John's gospel, he even tells me why he writes it. John 20, it's written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the rescuer, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. One of the other main differences here is George Orwell, even on a good day, is not going to say, as I wrote, the Lord of all the heavens and the earth inspired me in my writings. I have to say I got halfway through and got bored of the book. Maybe if he'd been inspired, it might have been a little bit better. But certainly, he wouldn't say God had inspired him. And yet that's what the Bible claims, that God has inspired, has breathed, has enabled people to write. And one of the ways that we know this happened really well is that when God comes down as Jesus, he doesn't arrive in a stable with Tippex. Now, he could have done, he could have turned up and gone, I'll need my big bottle of Tippex because I need to correct all the mistakes you've made in the Old Testament. We've got half the Bible so far. I think you guys have made some errors. Let me just cross out the stuff I didn't really mean and that you guys have mistaken. But he doesn't do that. Jesus arrives and says, you can trust what we already have, the first half of the Bible. And then Paul, in the second half of the Bible, in Thessalonians, he writes to a church that he'd started, he says, we thank God because when you receive the word from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Now, I wonder how many of you, if I said to you, what are the verses that mean the most in the Bible to you, would have maybe one or two verses that you think, that's almost the verse over my life. That's the verse that seems to speak most powerfully to me. And certainly this week I was talking to another Christian and said, how does God speak to you? And he said, well, whenever I pray, if I hear from God, God is reminding me of his words, of the Bible. That's how he speaks to me, by reminding me. And John 4 very much says that. Jesus says, I'm going to go, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and that's going to remind you of the things that I've said. And I always find that an encouragement, because even in the days when I read the Bible, I think, oh, this is quite hard work. I think, well, the more I can get of this Bible, the more the Holy Spirit can then remind me of it later and speak it into my heart. Because it's not like the other two books. This is a book where God is going to work in my soul, in my spirit, to remind me and to work in me. There are, however, days when it feels like any other book. And I have to say, in a weird sort of way, the man who challenges me most about this is Gandhi. He wasn't a Christian, he was a Hindu. But he wrote this. He said, you Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to turn the world upside down and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it was nothing more than a piece of literature. And I always find that challenging. I think, have I really grasped this isn't like the other two? This is a book given by God as a gift to me that can change my life and change the whole world. And probably the days when I take it as literature, it's when I think of it as just an opinion around the table. It's just one more opinion that I can take or leave. And as I was reflecting and thinking about this week, I was thinking about the holiday that Rachel and I have just had. We found ourselves by the pool and it was lovely, but she's quite good at befriending people who are sometimes irritating. And so she befriended this lovely lady, and we have to say they're lovely because I'm sort of a vicar, and every day she'd come and talk to us, but it didn't matter what we said. She'd always say the same things. And we tried replying in different ways, but actually all she wanted us to do was say what she said back to her again. It was almost like we'd be better off just being a mirror. That's kind of what was expected of us. And I know that sometimes when I come to the Bible, I've got my culture and other views so much in my ear that I can't just get what it's trying to say. I need to somehow strip out these noises in the background and say, God, help me to just know what this is saying to me, to read it for what it is. And so I wonder if I asked you, what does the world say in our ear that we as Christians should believe? What is it that we hear that means actually we need to somehow silence that to really hear what the Bible says? And I think this is a rough summary of what everybody or a lot of people out there who aren't Christians would say that our Bible says. They would feel, it says, that God is love, which is a good start, isn't it? They would feel that it says that God is the sort of person who will let you choose what you want, who will let you be completely free, who will perhaps want maybe an hour of your time on a Sunday when you can manage it, but apart from that, he doesn't make too many demands. They'd probably say he doesn't really care about your money very much, even though they might say the church does. And they'd probably say, as long as your choices don't hurt people, then you can do what you like. That seems to be what I hear most. And yet when I look at the Bible, some of that isn't in the Bible, is it? There's a good start in that God is loving, but actually that I stand in need of forgiveness is something that was missing. That Jesus died to save me from hell, from a terrible situation, is missing. That God has opinions, not just opinions, but he is a lamp and a guide to my feet, and he says, this is how you should live. You should only have sex with someone you're married to. You shouldn't get drunk. You should remember that your value is found in that you are my child and that you're forgiven and loved. There are so many ways where the Bible says, this is what I think about the whole world from God, and it is an authority to my life. And so we get on to probably the thing that I think we might want to think about the most, which is how do we actually apply that? Now, some of you will be amazing at reading your Bible. Some of you will pick it up every day and you think, wow, this is great. I've got this one nailed. And others of us find it a bit more difficult. In order to encourage one of his helpers, Pope Theonilus, who was a Catholic pope. Well, they were all Catholic, obviously. Brilliant. But I love he said this to his sort of helper. He said, don't let a day pass without reading some portion of the scripture and giving space for it. Don't cast off the habit of reading the Holy Scriptures, for nothing feeds your soul and enriches your mind as well as they do. When I was about 8, I could remember the vicar said to me, you're not really a Christian if you don't read the Bible every day. And I thought, that sounds legalistic, I don't like it. But I do like the idea that I feed my body every day. Why would I not need to feed my soul every day? And so I thought there's three things that might help us to maybe sort out some of our Bible reading if that's something we're struggling with. One is a time, one is a place, and the last thing is a chicken. And I hope that this will be helpful to you. So first of all, more obvious, a time and a place. I need to timetable my Bible reading. If I don't, it doesn't happen. So I put it in my diary, half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever I've got, I'm going to put it in the diary and I'm going to spend some time reading over it. I need a place. I need somewhere I can sit or walk or whatever where I've got enough space and no distractions so I can take it on board. And finally, chicken. And I hope this is really helpful to you, but in my house, I am the carver of the chicken. I don't know if this is a man thing that means I've inherited this as a default, but I've got it as my role. And I have to say, I'm not very good. Some men feel like, you know, this has got to be their brilliant thing. For me, it's not my skill. But I know I always start with the easy bit. You always start with the breast bit because you can't go wrong on that. And when I read the Bible, sometimes I want to take a big bit. I look over Joseph's story or Moses or Jesus, and I might even go online and find someone to read it to me for 20 minutes. So I just sit and try and take in a big sweep of a story. So some days that's what my Bible reading looks like. Other days I go for, and there's like a dark bit of meat on a chicken behind its leg somewhere. And I remember a butcher once telling me that's the best bit. Is it the best bit? I didn't know that. But it's tiny. And so other days, my Bible reading is I take a little bit that's really rich and I think about it and I might draw a bit or I might play my guitar a bit or I might pray a bit or I might brainstorm it or trying to really plumb the depths of it. I'll give you an example. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And I could think about that for hours. What love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's one of those rich bits that I think I don't need a big chunk today. I'm going to think really deeply on that and think, what does it mean for me? What can I get from this? And the last part of the chicken is the wings. And I have to be honest, sometimes I think I just want to bin them because they're not really worth it. They're all small and scraggly and how do I get stuff out of it? And there's some parts of the Bible where I think that's so challenging and difficult to get to the meaning of it. And those are the days when I need to pick up other books as well, or maybe search a little bit online and find out, has anyone else wrestled with these bits so I can really get to grips with what it is? So three different ways you might want to think about reading the Bible. We're going to finish and pray in just a moment. But before I do, some people had come up with some words today, some things that God had been saying or maybe wanted to say through the Bible today. One of them is that for some people, they find the Bible confusing and they don't understand it. And if that's you, can I recommend, try maybe the Alpha video I recommended at the start. Maybe come and speak to me or John and say, I don't really get on with the Bible. Can you give me some resources, something to help? Do any of you use apps to help you with reading the Bible? Anyone use little booklets to read the Bible? A few of you. Okay, anyone use something else? A few of you use something else? So there's plenty of us around who actually know other ways to help us to get into reading the Bible. And the last word that someone had was that someone's feeling hungry. There's lots of good things in your life, but perhaps something's missing. And that the Word of God would be that thing in your life that would satisfy your hunger and build you up. The last thing I want to say is, I wrapped up my Bible today. And some of you might want to go home and wrap yours up and put maybe a little bow on it or however you do that. And then to pray to God and say, God, would this be a gift in my life? And as you unwrap it, just be praying that God help this to be afresh to me, a gift and a wonderful thing to me. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your word to us, the Bible. We are so grateful that you didn't leave us scrabbling around, not knowing what you were like, not knowing how we could be saved, not knowing how we should live our lives. thank you for your word to us. God, would you help us to read it clearly, to understand it? Holy Spirit, as you promised, would you bring it to our mind? Would you use it to feed our souls and to speak to us? Lord, as the first disciples devoted themselves to the reading of your word, so too give us determination that every day we pick it up. Guide us to the things that will help us with that. Lift from us guilt and allow us to know this as your gift to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.